Listen, every opportunity we get, we sing these songs, we dance because why? He is good, right? We shout because he is good. How good is he? Because you know what? These young boys and girls that come over to the house, the girls don't say not much about it, but the boys do. You know, and they talk about a quarterback when he's good and they talk about him. A running back who won the Heisman Trophy or whatever this year. And they know all of their names, right? Right. But when they go out in the public, do they name the name of Jesus Christ? Yes, they do. Who's preaching today? Sorry, I'm just so excited about what God is doing. You know, but I want you to know, if he's that good, then everybody needs to hear about it from the body of Christ. That's all we need to be talking about, right? I don't care about the rest. We got to bless the DPW, the Department of Public Works, down here in Hudson. We do it every year. We bring them a lunch, and it's so fun bringing it down. Well, this year we had a little snafu, and Pastor Jeff was a little bit late bringing the sandwiches down, which worked out beautifully, because all of the guys were in the break room. They were all in there, and they're sitting there, and they were like, hey, what time are they coming? I said, just sit down. And they all sat down, had every one of them in there, and I got to preach for 20 minutes in the break room at the DPW. Listen, when things go wrong, you just preach. That's what I found out. Doesn't matter. If there's somebody delayed, tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to captivate. I was blocking the only exit. They weren't going nowhere till I was done telling them about the love of God. I had such a great time with these guys. God just opens up doors. And then at Michael's wedding yesterday, there was a young couple sat behind us. Got to share Christ with them and talking to them about missions and stuff. And they've traveled. And she was like, okay, so where's your church? What time is it? And where are you going next? Can I tell you, when you talk about him and stir people up, they want what you have. When you tell them about how he delivered you and saved you and washed you and cleansed you and you were a filthy wretch and then he changed everything, including your name, and he made you his own, that is what people are looking for. Amen. They don't want to hear about your problems. That's right. Neither do we. No, we're okay. But people want to hear the good news. Listen, you're free because he set you free. You're not bound by the lie of the enemy anymore. Amen. One man said, if you took all the darkness in the whole world, all of it, and you piled it all in one spot, one match cannot be snuffed out by all the darkness in the world. Amen. That's you. No matter how much darkness is all around you, you still transform and you drive the darkness out just by showing up because of the Christ on the inside of you. That's what happens when you open your mouth and you proclaim Jesus Christ. Amen? And then Wednesday night, Ethan was here with the youth. We took the adults and the evangelism class, and we went to the Plaza Diner. Yeah, you guys missed out. I bought dinner. Come to the evangelism class, this is what happens. Okay, I bought a cup of coffee. I didn't buy dinner. But forgive me, Father. But we got to chat with some people and pray with people there. My one lady is going to call my wife here. She said, before Christmas, I'll give you a call, because she wants her life changed because of what she saw when we were sitting there and just praying. Kia had a word for her when she came over and they prayed for her. And then when I got back, Ethan was telling me that, or in the meeting we had Thursday night, he said, well, here, the kids just started worshiping, and they were laying on the stage and singing. Some of them got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and some of their lives were changed. I mean, this is what happens when we just worship God. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. I don't know where you're at, and I don't know who's going to be around you, but I want you to know God is moving, and he wants to use you. All you have to do is open your mouth. That's it. And just love him, because when you love him, everybody else's life gets changed. My life is changed by your love for God. Amen. Absolutely changed. Watching you serve him is incredible. Carl, good to see you. So glad you're here, brother. And your bride also, of course. But I already hugged Miss Dee Dee. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 1 and 27. We're going to start there. We're going to have to fly here pretty good because Chad's back there with that clock. In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 27, and it said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for food. And every beast on the earth, and every bird in the heavens, and everything that creepeth on the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. It was good, or it was very good, right? God's the creator of everything. We all agree on that. It's the word of God that changes us. Amen? That's why we need to read the word of God. We said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? So it's always about the Word of God. We never can get outside of that. When we prophesy within the confines of what the Word of God says. We don't just prophesy any crazy thought that comes to our head, amen? Because every prophecy is directing someone towards Christ. That's why the Word of God is the highest form of prophecy there is. And the word of God, all it does is tell about who God is, and then it brings in why men fell and women fell, and then God's restoration process all the way through. Yeah. Thank God that from the very beginning, because we see that God created everything and he said it was all good, and then came along man. Isn't that incredible? Man. So in Genesis 2:7, it says, and Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Listen, regardless of what anybody else says, I want you to know you are a living soul this morning. You're alive, and we need to live like we're alive. I was sharing with that young couple at the wedding. I said, listen, you've got one single solitary shot at this life. You've only got one. Don't spend it doing what the world does. Oh, if the church could stop doing what the world does. If we could stop finding joy and comfort in planning and prodding and making sure that I have enough for me. I want you to know your God has enough for you. We have to be wise as serpents. But your time, your efforts, your energies, and everything you possess is for one more to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why he gives it to us. Amen? Your gift and your talent is for one purpose, that more would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everything was to glorify him. How do we know that? Because he said, I created you. I designed you. I have a purpose for you, and it's to bring glory to my name. That's it. Amen. Everything else we do, well, hey, look at, he said, because of the fall, we're going to work by the sweat of our brow, right? And with our hands, and he's going to bless everything that we touch. That's good news. That's really good news. Everything I put my hands to is going to be blessed. Bren, shake my hand. Yeah. You're a blessed woman today, baby. But everything, that's my thought process. No matter what it is, listen, growing up in the plumbing business, you put your hands to some stuff. And all the way through, we've been blessed. Even no matter what it looked like, no matter what it took to finish the job. Everything that we did, God blessed all the way through our lives. And it was great training because you deal with stuff the rest of your life. But he said he formed man. And then down in verse 15, he said, and Jehovah God took the man and he put him into the Garden of Eden and to dress it and to keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest of that, of thou shalt surely die. And Jehovah God said, it is not good that man should be alone. In verse 18, I will make him a helpmeet for him. So God puts us in the garden. He creates everything we need to eat. He puts us there. He said, listen, I'm giving you everything. You got free rule and reign. And then he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many know that without the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we truly wouldn't be free? Because you have to be able to make a decision. If you can't choose, you're not free. Right? That's why in Iran, you don't choose. In Russia, you don't choose. All right? In America, you get to choose.
Amen.
Choose wisely.
Yes.
You get to choose whether you want to be free or not. Every morning you wake up and you make a decision whether you're going to choose to be free or live in bondage. Whether you're going to blame someone else for where you're at or whether you're going to believe God for the freedom he's given you and release everyone. Whether you're going to have joy or just be a miserable cuss all day. Yeah, some people came in here, and until we got done with worship, nobody wanted to sit next to you. Everybody was like, oh, boy. We make a decision of how we're going to step out. It's a choice that we made, just like Adam and Eve. Listen, God tells us what choice to make, doesn't he? What brings you strength? The joy of the Lord.
Amen.
He said, listen, if you want to get stronger, enjoy me. Sing unto me. Lift up your eyes unto the hills. It's a choice that we have to make. Without that choice, we wouldn't have been free. God wanted someone who would freely worship him. He said, I'm going to supply it all. You don't ever have to worry about another thing. Don't worry about the rain. We're going to water it from the ground up. I don't want you. You won't need an umbrella. You won't need any, no raincoats. Not in my garden, he said. Man said, disobeyed the word of God, and everything changed. I want you to know, you disobey the word of God, everything changes. That's how it works for me. Beginning of my marriage, I didn't know how to build a marriage. What was that? she says. I didn't know how to build a marriage. And I almost destroyed mine until we got into the word of God. Then I found out who I was, what God's word says, and how I'm supposed to act as a man of God, and then how my wife is supposed to act as a woman of God. And then we finally came to an agreement that we're going to do what the word of God says, and then everything started changing. But how many know it still takes a while to get that old foolish man out of there? Right? What's that? And woman. Oh, boy, I love her. You know what? She just threw all you girls under the bus with us. Good girl, friend. But this is what happens when we obey the word of God, transformation and change comes. When we disobey the word of God, transformation and change comes. But one of the two is going to rule and reign in our lives. We're either going to walk in victory or going to walk in defeat. We're going to walk in the joy or walk in misery. We're going to walk in unity or we're going to walk divided. And I don't know about you, but I like walking in unity. Because in the midst of unity, God commands the blessing. And this is what he was looking for in each one of our lives. And so I know I'm just setting the stage, and I know this is stuff you guys all know. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21 to 24, it says, and Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which Jehovah God had taken from the man made he a woman. And he brought her unto the man, and the man said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. When we're joined, and this is a mystery that the scripture talks about in the New Testament, it's a mystery about how the two become one and how we become one with God, where you're no longer who you were, but you are who he says you are. When people grab a hold of that reality, which so many people spend their whole lives never grabbing a hold of or never grasping how amazing you are. How fearfully and wonderfully you are made. How powerful you are. So many people, remember what we said at the end of the service last week? Which reminds me, how many enjoyed Brother Williams last week? Yeah. Wasn't he wonderful? See, I told you like my friends. He's a good friend. And I just so appreciate him. But what we said at the end of the service last week is you have between 60 and 70,000 thoughts a day, right? 80% of them are negative. Yeah, 80% are negative. 90% are the same thoughts you had every day. Isn't that sick? I hate that study. I don't like it. Because I'm like, no way, I'm putting new thoughts. This is why you need to read the Word of God. Because he's going to bring new thoughts in. Right? Because the first thought, when you wake up in the morning, years ago, whatever it was, I'm all by myself. No, you're not. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm a loser. No, you're not. You have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power, there it is. And the word of my testimony. All I could think of was the word of God. But you're going to agree with one thing or the other when you get out of bed. You're either going to be believing the lie, and how long have you been lost in a lie? Right? Whatever happened the day before, somebody that you woke up started thinking about it again. And through breakfast, you didn't say anything. Just give me some more fruity pebbles and nobody talked to me. I don't eat them things. Red dye number 5, but sorry. We just get lost in that lie. We get overwhelmed by a lie, and that thing can consume the day, 3 days, or a week. I don't know about you guys, when we first got married, the heavy discussions that we used to have would last about 6 days. And then about 2 years in, they only lasted about 3 days because we started surrendering to the Word of God. And about 4 years in, we were down to about a day. Now we're down to like milliseconds. Nice. Because we just kept going back to what the Word says and then made a choice. Amen. Am I going to agree with the darkness, agree with the lie, agree with the rejection, agree with the anger, agree with anything else, or am I going to agree with what he said? Am I going to agree with the knowledge of good or evil? Or am I going to agree with what God's word says, that I have life and life more abundantly? So now we can have a discussion, and it doesn't last long for the most part. Yeah, most of the time. Every once in a while you get on my nerves, but other than that. And most of the time I'm on yours. See? How long is it going to last, friend? You good? No popping me in the nose when I'm preaching, okay? Genesis 2:16, again, God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat." God was saying, listen, I've done everything. I've created you. I've planned all of this out. I've got everything you need. Honor me in this. That's what he was saying. Honor me in this decision. Don't go near one tree. It's there because I want you to be free to be able to choose. But honor me in this, that you won't go near this. That's what he's saying. God's desire is that he's glorified. Amen? Yeah. That we honor him in what? Everything, the Bible says, or all things. That's his desire. This is how he laid it out. Man failed, right? Man failed. We got kicked out of the garden. And God did it again. He said, hey, here's 10 things I want you to live by. The 10 commandments. Okay? Do this because they'll bring me glory and they'll protect you. Man didn't do them either. Man failed. And then obviously, they did not see how the word would keep them free. And then the Lord said, now, at this time, in this time of year that we're going to celebrate, that we're in the middle of celebrating, he said, now I'm going to send my son down. Because I gave you my word, don't touch this tree. I gave you my commandments, and it starts off by thou shalt have what? No other God. Honor me. Don't even make an image. Don't even try to attempt to make an image because it's so far below what I am. Don't get lost and confused in that. Honor me above all things. And he said, you honor me, I'll take care of everything. I don't know about you, but I want God taking care of everything. Because he takes care of me, he takes care of my marriage, he takes care of my children, he takes care of my finances, he takes care of my future, he takes care of my eternity, and guess what? He's good at it.
Amen.
He's good at it. So I want to honor him in everything. And it comes down to a decision that each one of us have to make. And so he sent his only begotten son, and he said, I want them to see what love looks like, and I want them to see how I desire to be honored and what obedience looks like and the freedom that you'll have when you walk in it. This is how we walk in heaven, the three of us in perfect unity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. So he sent his son down and he said he wanted to show us how the word is lived out, that his blood would wash us and his stripes would heal us and his love would transform us. And that it would bring freedom and teach each one of us how to live this out. That's what Jesus came to do, so that we would honor God the way that he deserves it. Last week we talked about, a couple weeks, we talked about being thankful. How many put some thankful, how many filled their thankful tank? How many been working on that? Each day, being thankful for something. Just turn to your neighbor and tell them how thankful you are. Come on, put some thankful in your tank. We've got to build that thankful tank up. It's been depleted. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you should be thankful for me. Come on. Listen, you're a gift. You are a gift to the body of Christ. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm thankful for you. I'm very thankful for everybody in here. We got to build that tank up. We got to strengthen that. Some people struggle with it a lot. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. If you want to know, when God said, hey, here's the decision I want you to make, don't touch the tree, take care of the Ten Commandments, and now Jesus came, right? And now we're walking in the Spirit. It's no longer the letter of the law that keeps us. It's the law that guides us, but it's the Spirit of God that leads us now, amen? And he leads us into all truth. You want to know what the truth is? You have to get in the Word of God and listen to the Holy Ghost. Because when he says, when that voice comes and says, yeah, you have a right to be angry, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's a different one. When he says, yeah, you have a right to walk out of here and be offended, that's not the Holy Ghost. Not at all. You have a right to quit. I don't need those people. Nobody said hi to me when I walked into that church. If somebody didn't say hi to you, I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want to put you on the spot. But I was going to have everybody around you like dog pile on you, you know, to welcome you to the body of Christ. We welcome you. I'll just say it for everybody else. Hi. All right. There. Now you feel better. You feel comfortable. You'll come back. That's good. But in everything we give thanks, and we talked about that for a couple of weeks. It's not for everything, but it's in everything. And in 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through who? Jesus Christ, or Christ our Lord. Right now, in this time and season, one of the things that they try to do is they try to rip Jesus Christ out of everything. They try to pull him down. Now, some stores are putting it back up saying Merry Christmas rather than Happy Holidays, yes. Right? We're getting through the woke moronism,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
Thank God we're getting through that. And finally, the church is standing up and they say Happy Holidays. Not me. It's Merry Christmas. That offends me. Who cares? You don't have the right. They don't have the right to tell you what you're allowed to say, this America.
Amen.
And for right now, you have your freedom.
That's right.
But why does the church back up? Huh? No. There's no way we back up because we're nice. If we're really nice, then we press in.
That's right.
And we tell them the truth. If we're really nice, we're not going to sit there and allow the lie to overrun everything, because that doesn't honor our God. And if my life is to be lived in honoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then I'm not going to fall into the nonsense. And their definitions do not trump the Word of God. They don't trump the Word of God, but so many people allow it in their mind and in their hearts. And the church has backed off and been afraid. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not afraid. That's right. My desire is to make sure that I live a life that honors God. We're here to honor God in everything that we do. God hates it when the church tears itself apart. And the church has been doing that around the world, hasn't it? How many denominations do we have? That tells you everything you need to know right there of what the schisms and divisions look like. I had to do chapel over to the Grapeville Christian School. And so we were sitting there, and I said, now there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. I said, isn't that right, young lady? She said, I'm Catholic. So beautiful. So beautiful. Just a young girl. I said, well, you know there'll be no Catholics in heaven, right? She goes, what? I said, don't worry, there'll be no Baptists either. This is a Baptist church that we're in, you know. I said, don't worry, there'll be no Baptists either or Methodists or anybody else. It'll only be sons and daughters of God. But just watching the look on their face, why? Because they think there's something separated, something different than men and women of God, right? And that's where the divisions come in, and that doesn't honor God. Our job is to honor God. And the Hebrew word for honor, it literally means heavy or weighty or even glory. It's a figurative meaning, however, and it's far more common to give weight to someone, to honor someone, than it is to give weight or to grant a person a position of respect and even authority in one's life. In the flesh, it's not easy to honor because everybody is striving to get honor, right? Everywhere you go, people, you walk into the room. I don't know about you, but before I was saved and probably after, I would probably agree. You walk into the room and you size everybody up. You walk in. I remember the first time I walked into the prayer room in Greenville. I walked in there. Pastor Fink asked me to come in. I walked in there. Yeah. All right. They started praying. Felt like a little kid in a room with great men of God. I didn't know how to pray like they knew how to pray. But when you walk into a room and you size things up, your arrogance and your pride steps up. Instead of coming in and looking at others, because the Bible says, I'm to honor you above myself. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Therefore, I need words of encouragement, thankfulness, because in order to honor you, we're going to live a different realm than the world. We're all raised on ripping people to shreds. Really? We grew up on MASH, 4077. They ripped each other to pieces all the time. Thought it was wonderful. Best show on TV, we were little kids, right? We had three shows that we liked to watch. The Brady Bunch, Sanford and Son, and MASH. There are three. I just saw they got shirts out now, Sanford and Son shirts. They came out with T-shirts. Yeah, I want to get one of them. But that's what we watch. And what do? They ripped each other to pieces. I want you to know it doesn't honor God when we rip each other to pieces. It's not how it works. We're to build each other up in what? The most holy faith. We're to build each other up. We're to strengthen one another. We're to encourage one another. Ah, we're just getting into it. The opposite of of honor is to revile. How many times have we said disparaging things about people? And all that does is tear the body apart, tears families apart, destroys children. How many children that you meet and they can't even pick up their heads? They can't look you eye to eye because of the thoughts that they've had or the words that have been spoken over them all their lives. But his word changes everything. And the Greek word for honor It means to prize. It means to show high regard, to respect for, and so to count as valuable, to esteem, to honor, or to revere. And I want you to know, God's desire is that we would revere him first. Nobody comes before God. Not your children. In America, they become idols. People are afraid to correct their kids. You imagine? We're going to go against the word of God, not correct our kids, and then stand before God one day and go against his word, and then expect that he's going to have what? Leniency, because we wanted to be nice? We're not being nice when we disobey his word. We're not honoring him when we disobey his word. It's just that simple, but we have built it because sports has become a god, right? And whatever it is, whether it's racing, whether it's hunting, whether it's fishing, whether it's, you know, anything with a ball in it. But it's become an idol, and people have no problem talking about it. And then they'll remove themselves from what they're supposed to be doing because my child has to be able to. I want them to have the same thing that we grew up with or before we knew Christ. I don't know about you, but before Christ, that's all I cared about was sports. That was my idol, because that's where I found somebody that said I did a good job. That's where I found somebody that liked what I did. And so as the quarterback of the football team, the coach said, you're doing a good job. That's why I played even harder, looking for that kind of acceptance. And then, but now that I'm in Christ, now a ball field or anything is only used so that God is glorified. Love playing sports. Love it that our kids get to play sports, but not as an idol. Your grandchildren can't be an idol. That's a hard one. The children, that's not as hard, but grandkids, that's hard, isn't it, Floyd? That's hard. No. Well, okay, they are. Philippians 2, 5 through 11, I'll read this in closing. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who as he was already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I wish we had more time. Those little kids in that dance took up a lot of time. But because we're here to honor him. And when you walk out of here today, my desire is that every word that comes out of your mouth glorifies God. Every word that comes out, Jesus said, look, I'm going to come and do exactly what the Father has asked me to do. Even though he was God, became incarnate, and whatever the Father asked him, laying down his life, his natural life, that natural man being completely destroyed so that God is glorified. Redeeming the whole body of Christ, redeeming those sons and daughters that they would once again have a relationship with him and know and understand how to glorify the King of Kings. That's why Jesus came. He said, look at, I'm not interested. Peter said, hey, you're not going to Jerusalem. He said, what? Get behind me, Satan, because you don't understand who the King is. You don't understand what my purpose is. You don't get it yet, but you will. One day you'll get it, but right now you don't understand. My whole purpose is to honor him, not you, not man, but to honor God. And this week, as we come into the season, that's my prayer, is that we would honor God in everything. I was hoping to get through this today, honoring God, and then get into honoring Jesus Christ and get into honoring one another. And we still will. But it might take a little longer. Depends on how many dances we have. This morning, because God's called you to change the world, because he's already made a way, he's already washed you, he's already cleansed you, if you know Jesus Christ in your Lord, as your Lord and Savior, you're free indeed to make the choice. Not with the foolishness of this world, not with darkness, but his marvelous light. Amen? Walking in the light as he is the light. No amount of darkness can put that match out. You shine bright everywhere you go. Your purpose is to magnify his name above every other name. Nobody else gets the glory but him. But we give honor where honor is due. And can I, how many, stand up, those that go into the jail. Those that go preach in the jail, stand up. Come on, come on, come on, jump up, let's go. All right, there's the three ladies. There we go. Garrett's back there, Kevin's back there. Part-time, well, that's okay. But you went in to preach, right? You didn't get in because you, none of that, right? Okay. Thank you, because that's what, when you're changed, this is what happens. He said, you're anointed to what? Preach the good news to the poor, right? That's why he's anointed you. Thank you. How many people work in the food pantry? Stand up. Come on, stand up if you work in the food pantry. Amen. You see, because when you die to yourself and you live to Christ, then your time is not your own. Thanks, guys. We so greatly appreciate the way that you serve. Anybody here work in a children's ministry? I know a lot of them are working right now. Stand up. Amen. What do you do, like everything or what? Huh? Just two? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because when we get to make a choice, then the choice is he's going to be honored in everything I do. And when he's honored, that means I'm surrendered. When I'm surrendered, he's glorified. Jesus was surrendered only to what the word of God said, and he didn't care what Peter had to say. You're not going to go and die. We're not going to allow them to kill you. And he said, get behind me, because you don't know what glorifies the Father. You don't know what honors the Father yet. Peter learned that after the resurrection and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and everything changed. Amen? So for the others that serve in different departments, so grateful. So grateful. In honoring God, we're going to have to serve man. Find a place to fit and serve. Find a place to fit and serve. Because that's what glorifies him. The more people that serve, the less one person has to do. Jesus came down here not to be served, but to serve. So in bringing him glory and honor, when you go out of here, wherever you walk, serve. Find somebody to tell about the good news of Jesus Christ. Even if you have to block the door down at the DPW so they hear the goodness of God, find some place where you get to honor him above all else. Amen? Let's stand up. I'm just so thankful. See, now, if you didn't know by looking at it, Miss Deirdre, when she decorated the right side, it's about the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like the right side of the wreath over there has to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's always a symbolism, always giving him honor, always giving him glory. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. And Lord, as we have seen in your word, Lord, you've done it all well. Beyond our understanding, beyond our wildest dreams, you've done it all well. Lord, we're so grateful that you gave us an opportunity to be able to choose. And this morning, we choose you. We choose the one who washes us, cleanses us, and makes us whole. The one who wipes away the guilty stain, never bringing it up again before us. Lord, I pray that in honoring you, we would no longer say what we have done, but we would say what you have done. Lord, that our lives would be given for one purpose, that you would be glorified. Lord, help us that early in the morning when that word comes, we grab a hold of it and it stifles the rest of those thoughts that have been consuming us. For we don't want to live tomorrow like we did today. We don't want to live Tuesday like we did Monday. Lord, we want to grow in you and walk in a greater freedom. We've come here to honor you. We've joined our hearts together, knit our hearts together so that you would be magnified. Father, it's our desire today to bow our knee before you, to bend it, oh God, so that there is nothing in our lives. I pray that right now, Lord, if there's anything that we have placed above the call of God on our lives, that you would show it to us right now through your Holy Spirit. Anything, Lord. We know there's little things that we have to tweak in our lives all the time. But Father, if anything else has our heart, show it to us so that we could quickly repent and then live for you in a greater way. I thank you, Father, for transforming us this morning. Lord, this morning, we surrender. Whatever it is that you've shown us, give us the courage to write it down, to lay it down, to make ourselves accountable and say, hey, can you help me through this? Find another brother or sister. Can you help me through this? Because sometimes I keep getting stuck in this area and I don't want those thoughts anymore ruling and reigning in my life. I know the thoughts that he has towards me. His thoughts, plans that are for my good. And I want to get lost in my good thoughts. I'm all done dabbling in the darkness. I'm all done messing around with my selfishness and my arrogance or my fears. I truly want to be free indeed this morning. Father, I thank you that you said when we ask, we'll receive, and you give us the desires of our hearts.